The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And I can tell you, for me, that was a life-changing moment.
Yes.
I went from believing my entire life I wasn't smart, I couldn't be a doctor, I wasn't capable. And then her one person telling me that, I changed my degree to pre-med. I eventually graduated, I earned my doctorate. I later on went and got a master's at Johns Hopkins University, averaged almost a 4.0 GPA.
Dr. Josh Axe explains the healing power of our thoughts in this Wellness Wednesdays episode.
Welcome to Life Today. Welcome to Wellness Wednesday. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is
Hello.
With me. Are you feeling well?
I'm feeling well today, pretty well.
Pretty well. You need to think better than that. You need a mind shift, Tammy.
I feel great.
We're talking about Think This, Not That, which is a book written by Dr. Josh Axe. And by the way, if you missed the other program, go to lifetoday.org. You will want to see it because we have what he calls mind shift medicine. And we are handing out prescriptions freely.
Yes, we are.
You can change your mind today. We're going to tell you some very important ways that your thinking impacts your health
Yes.
in all areas. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you guys being here. Dr. Josh Axe, we appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here again.
I want to hit something real quick. Because this, when I heard this, my jaw dropped. There is a medical case of a gentleman who was given, 3 months to live, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And they were right, but they were also very, very wrong.
Yeah, so there's actually something, most of us have heard of the placebo effect, and it's where you take a sugar pill or somebody tells you that, hey, you can get a great result, and you do it actually. I mean, the crazy part about the placebo effect is they've done the study hundreds of times, and every time it proves to be true, that if you believe you're gonna heal, there's a better chance of it. Well, the reverse is also true. Mm. There was a case study where a man went in and his doctors diagnosed him with liver cancer, and he was told he had 3 months to live. The man went and he died about 3.5 months later, so about that timeline. They went and did the autopsy and they realized they misdiagnosed him. He had a small benign tumor on the side of his liver. Oh. It could have been simply removed. He probably had another, 30, 40 years to live. And the man died because he believed he was going to die.
Oh.
And by the way, that was just, I only put that one in the book. There are many cases. So this isn't one case. There are numerous cases where people were misdiagnosed and they either developed the symptoms or they died early because of their diagnosis. And so our beliefs are so powerful. Mm. I mean, we have to guard our thoughts and our minds and make sure they align with the Word of God constantly.
Yeah.
I'm stuck on that one, that story. I'm sorry,
you're
going to have to ask the next question because my mind is just blown on that. It's truly the power of our minds.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about it a lot, to think this and your mindset and to align this, but sometimes we just don't practice it enough.
Yeah.
And we don't take it at face value. When you tell me a story like that, Dr. Josh, I'm blown away. Yeah. But I absolutely believe the truth of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've experienced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
Where, you were told one thing and, I don't know, maybe medically it was true, but you had to change your mind just to become a doctor.
Well, something that happens very frequently, and I just want people to recognize this, because almost everybody at some point goes into a doctor, and most people go in yearly or a few times a year.
Yeah.
And when we go see our doctors, I think the doctors actually regularly break the Hippocratic Oath, and it is first do no harm.
Mm.
If you go and see a doctor and they tell you, you are going to live with this condition the rest of your life, you have diabetes, you have hypothyroidism, you have cancer, whatever it is, you have to live with this the rest of your life, or you have to be on this pill the rest of your life, it's not always true.
Mm.
It's not always true. And so, my mom, I remember when she went in with cancer, they said, you have a 40% chance to live. And I remember thinking, what's the benefit of telling somebody that? Is that increasing their likelihood?
Wow.
No, we know statistically it actually decreases their likelihood of survival if you give somebody bad news and tell them there's really no hope with it. Mm. And so I really think there's a balance where physicians should be able to connect with their patients and say, listen, this condition is serious, but your body has an amazing capacity to heal.
Yes. Mm.
Like your body has the power. Let's do everything in our power to get you well.
Yes. Yes.
And it's letting people know this is serious, there's a real problem here, but also not stripping or taking yes. hope from them. And I think hope is, it's a powerful medicine.
All right, back to your story.
Yeah, so with my story, I was diagnosed with a spinal infection. And not just any infection, I had the infection got into my bone, and there was an abscess by my spinal cord. And I haven't shared the necessary every detail of this, but the pain was so bad. I mean, I just cried out to God for days. I mean, it was so bad. It was so bad I couldn't roll over in bed, and I didn't walk for a year. It was
that's
that
crazy.
Bad. And the doctor told me, you might be permanently disabled and never walk on your own. We may have to put metal rods inside your spine for even to move because the infection is so serious in there. And I really had 24 hours of feeling like my life was over, and I really connected with God. And God basically told me, listen, I'm bigger than your diagnosis.
Yes.
I'm bigger
yes.
than that.
Yes.
So that's recent, right? You're a little over 2 years outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, I just started walking again like a year and three, four months
ago. Yeah, not so long ago. Yeah.
There
also, you experienced a level of this as a child.
That's right.
When they basically said you're not smart enough to go into med school, you know.
Well, it was so crazy because, James, I had a teacher, and almost everybody, I want people to think about this, almost everyone has had this happen to some point in their life. Somebody told them, you can't do this or you can't be this or you're not capable.
Exactly. Right.
So I went and just see my teacher in freshman year of high school, said, Josh, can you stay after class? I stayed after class, and she said, what do you want to do after high school? And I said, well, Ms. Noble, I want to be a doctor. And that was because the year before, my mom went through chemotherapy and her cancer. And I remember thinking at the time, I want to help people like my mom, and there has to be a better way, so I want to be a doctor. Mm. Well, when I told her that, she laughed out loud. And she goes, Josh, listen, with your GPA, you'll never get into med school. She said, my own daughter had a 3.8 GPA. She barely got in. She said, you're getting a D- in my class. You got an F on this paper. You need to try harder. And I walked out of there thinking, well, gosh, maybe I can't be a doctor or I'm not smart. Well, 2 weeks later, then my mom brings me to see a doctor, and he diagnoses me with ADHD. And I still remember him talking about me like I wasn't in the room, and him telling my mom, your son has a learning disability. He's gonna have trouble learning his entire life.
Wow.
And so then I thought, well, not only am I not smart, I'm like medically not smart. Mm. So then I stopped trying in high school. I barely graduated. I graduated with like just above a 2.0 GPA, applied to colleges, most of them denied me. One college, though, sent me a letter, and it was because I had a lot of good extracurriculars, and they said, listen, if you take summer school and average above a 3.0, we'll let you in. And I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna do this. I took the class, first class I had to take was English 101. First big assignment was a paper. I went and I wrote the paper, I really tried. 3 days later, the teacher said, Josh, can you stay after class?
Uh-oh.
My stomach sunk. I thought, oh no, I failed. And she said, well, what's your major? And I said, well, Mrs. Williams, I haven't chosen a major. And she said, well, I think you should consider being an English major or journalism major. She said, because you're a really gifted writer. We got 40 kids in the class. You got the highest grade. Great job.
Wow.
And I can tell you, for me, that was a life-changing moment.
Yes.
I went from believing my entire life I wasn't smart, I couldn't be a doctor, I wasn't capable. And then her one person telling me that, I changed my degree to pre-med. I eventually graduated, I earned my doctorate. I later on went and got a master's at Johns Hopkins University, averaged almost a 4.0 GPA.
Wow.
By the way, I don't say any of that to brag, I just say it to because I went from being the kid who thought, my parents would tell you the same thing, well, he'll be lucky to graduate high school, to then, you know, being able to, you know, live out my dreams and my calling of what I believe God called me to be, which was a doctor.
That's a major mind shift.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, so I listened to that story. First of all, I love your book, Think This, Not That, because you do have so many great stories in there. Even the story about your grandfather just moved me. It was the raw nature of it was so great, too. And I think about fear. And I think about people that have been given a diagnosis that says, this is all it's ever going to be for you. This is all the joy you'll ever experience. You'll never move beyond this. You'll never be anything. You'll never accomplish anything. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. But this is all it will ever be. And as fear kind of attaches itself to us at that point, we just feel like this is it then. Mm-hmm. This is it. I just want to sit here and give up and be done. Like, this is all that God will ever have for me. And it's not enough. And they're in that place. And I just wonder, like, in chapter 10 where you talk about flipping the fear.
Yeah.
Flipping that. And I wrote this down where you, okay, when I read think this, not that, I'm like, well, tell me what to think and what not to think. So you tell us, and I love it, in that chapter says, think this, failure can lead to flourishing. Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Failure can lead to flourishing. Don't think this, not this. I must avoid failure at all cost. Why do we think that way? And how can we change that mindset then and not be so afraid of maybe failure?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people construe failure with, you're a failure. It's an identity thing. It's like, yeah. Well, if I failed at this, I'm a failure. A lot of this actually, there's a great psychologist, and she dives into this. Her name's Carol Dweck. And she did a study on kids. And most people believe that with kids, you should tell them, you're great, you're perfect, you can be anything you want to be. And she shows in the studies that makes kids worse because they start developing this mind of, I have to be perfect. And so they'll start doing the easiest puzzles or the easiest problems and things just so they can look good on the outside and appear a certain way on the outside. And she said, what you should tell kids is you should applaud them for trying, for their work ethic, and say, I'm so proud of you that you gave it your all. Whether you win or lose, I'm so glad that you showed character, and praise them for that. You praise them for character, not perfection, or progress, not perfection. And so, you know, failure is part of me getting better. It's part of me improving. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, changing your mind about those things. You know, a lot of people don't go after their dreams because they don't want to fail. They don't want to
fail. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You even went on to say failure is essential to becoming successful.
That's right.
You talk about your dreams. Don't think this way. Failing means I am a failure. And I think everything you just said, I definitely was the girl that did the easy puzzle. show me the easy puzzle. So I look like wow, that was great. I was definitely afraid of failing as a kid. And I think that probably followed me for a long time until I was discovering more of my identity.
Yeah.
My identity in Christ, and that I could never fail. Like, keep trying, keep getting up, keep shooting that basket. Like, you'll get better. Practicing the presence of God, practicing my relationship with Jesus, practicing the way that I speak, changing my mindset. All of these things contribute to our health.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing that I think is really strong, I mean, the whole book's just, it's all
great. Yeah, it's great.
Yes. One that spoke to me, I should say, is that you say we should focus on becoming, not accomplishing. Mm. In other words, I have my to-do list. Do I have my to-be list?
Yeah.
I really like that. Explain where that comes from.
Yeah, so I was at my grandfather's funeral. This was about 6-7 years ago. And there was a moment in the funeral where, and they don't always do this at funerals, but the pastor got up and he said, does anyone have any final words about Howard? And the man next to me stood up and just blurted out in between sobs, Howard was my best friend. Mm. And I actually, I feel a little ashamed to say this. I looked over at him and I thought, well, you're not my grandfather's best friend, because that's like my Uncle Don. But then I thought, you know what? I'm sure my grandfather was his best friend. There's like 150 people in the room, and my grandfather was probably the best friend of at least half the people in the room. Mm. And then other people started going around saying, Howard saved my marriage, Howard prayed for me, Howard gave me money when I had nothing. And I remember this with my grandfather growing up, is he would volunteer at church. Once a week he would go, and he would go to visit someone in the hospital, and he would put his hand on their hand, and he would pray for them, he would bring them their favorite meal. And I got to go with him just that growing up, and that was one of the most just profound and impactful things I'd ever experienced anybody doing. And so my grandfather was a prayer warrior growing up. I mean, he was always, every moment he got, he was putting his hand on somebody's shoulder and he was praying for them and speaking life into them. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather was a World War II Navy veteran. He lived to be 96 years old. Wow. He was just an amazing man. But I had this epiphany while I was at his funeral. I thought, this is the sort of funeral that I want to have. Like, I realized that maybe at the time I was thinking a little bit more about accomplishing things, on whether it be, you know, writing a book or having a certain amount of podcast listeners or whatever it might be. And I thought, those things are not success. This is a successful life. And then it made me think about, what does the Bible teach about success? Mm-hmm. And nowhere in the Bible does it say you need to accomplish this for you to be successful. It says you need to become like Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we talked about that having a to-do list. That's what most people are doing, is, okay, I need to check off, sure, you know, do this errand, do this. But if I go and do the errand, or call the customer service line and I'm, you know, berate the customer service representative, I might have accomplished what I was trying to accomplish, but did I do it with a Christ-like manner? And no, I didn't. So people need to be just as conscious or really much more conscious of who am I becoming. So what I do is I write down, these are the character qualities I need to grow in. So I'm going to be extremely generous. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to pay for people when I go out. I'm going to make sure I'm tithing at least 10% and giving above and beyond that. And so writing down what is that, one of those, what are the three character qualities you need to grow in the most, and then practically applying those. That's something I've personally done that's really, I think, helped me grow as a person.
Well, and that ties right in with the idea of letting failure be a part of your success. In other words, yeah, if I'm just focused on the accomplishments, then any failure is just a bust. It's a waste of time.
Right.
It's discouraging. There's no hope in that. But if I am on this path, this journey of becoming, as Scripture says, conformed to the image of Christ, mm-hmm, well, then missing it is actually an opportunity for correction, for improvement, for self-awareness. I mean, the whole, again, that word that you use, mind shift, behind the idea of what I need to be instead of what I need to do, there's just a wealth of experience and hope, but I also think a wealth of health in that, because those negative failure things can become crushing.
Well, can I share this? Because this is in line with what you're sharing, but a little bit different as well. You know, when I first opened up my medical practice, the most common conditions I saw were like women's hormone issues, gut issues, low testosterone in men, heart disease. I mean, diabetes. These things were all on the rise. Mm-hmm. Now, mental health issues are probably the number one thing I see. And here's something that most people with their mental health issues, they just try and say, well, I'm going to try and be happier and do things. Mm. The most important thing that I think helps somebody with their mental health is working on their identity. And to improve your own identity, our identities are always attached to something. And knowing who God is, knowing His identity, is the most impactful thing for our own identities. There's a quote by A.W. Tozer. He says something like this: what we believe about God is the most important thing about us. Mm. So our belief about God is the most impactful thing to our own identity. If somebody believes that God's a far-off, distant person, and He's alive, and He's kind of, versus God is a perfect, loving Father, and He's constantly concerned with me, and He's constantly pursuing me, and He's always looking out for my good. If you believe that, and you're a hero of Christ, and you're His son or daughter, what that does for your own identity and mental health is the single most powerful thing that could ever happen. So I think today a lot of medical issues are mindset issues related to identity, but it's really lack of connection of really knowing who our Heavenly Father is. Mm.
So good. All right. Ooh, that's just a taste of Think This, Not That by Dr. Josh Axe. So I hope you'll request it when you make a gift today. So here's a question for you. I don't know what's on your to-do list today, but let me put something on your to-be list. Mm. And that's straight out of the gospel. That's to be generous. That's to remember the poor. That's an easy thing that we can do today to become who God has created us to be. And you know, yes, we have our goals in the Water for Life outreach. We want to drill a certain number of wells, but really it's a part of that identity, who we are in Christ. So here's an invitation to you today to become a part of this beautiful expression of the gospel as we meet people's practical needs, and we do it always in the name of Jesus. Watch this and pray how you can be a part of it today.
So I'm sitting here on the side of a huge cavern with my sister in the Lord, Buddy. She has been sharing with me that since she was a little girl, she has had to carry water for more than 2 kilometers to provide for the water needs of her family. The scary thing is, the water that is here, They have drank for years, and the doctors have told them to stop drinking it because it is what is making them sick, and it is what is making their children sick. But friends, there's no other water for them to drink. Does not have to be that way. We can fix this problem. You and I together, James and Betty, all of our missionary partners, we can fix these problems. And Buddy and her children will never have to come and draw water out of a place like this again. Because we have the ability to put fresh, clean water right near their home with a beautiful hand well that will be able to provide for her and her children and her grandchildren for as long as they live here. You know, the scripture teaches us to love one another, to bear one another's burdens. This is one of the greatest opportunities to demonstrate the gospel. With your help, we're going to be able to drill water wells all through this region. James says it all the time. We are going to not only give them water for life, we're going to give them the water of life. And I'm so grateful that because of your partnership, we're able to come into communities like this, partner with local pastors and local churches to drill water wells in these villages. And I'm so grateful that we as believers have an opportunity to participate.
That woman has a smile on her face because of viewers just like you. Because she has clean water in her village after a lifetime of disease, of loss. That ends when we go in.
Amen.
So many mothers are crying so many tears for their lost children all around the world. And we can put an end to it. Tammy, as difficult as it is, I know, for you to go into these places and to see the heartache, the heartbreak, it's only possible because we know we can make a difference.
Yes, yes, we can, and we do. God's people, we come together and we make a difference every time we present these stories to you. They're real. These are real people. Mm-hmm. These people are, they're suffering. Their hardship is real. The burden is heavy. I honestly can't even relate to a lot of what they feel every single day. I've just never had to live a life like that. So when I have the chance to go there and spend the day with them and carry a bucket for them up a hill or trek down a trail where, you know, we could possibly fall and break an arm again, whatever the case is, I want to do it with them because I want to know what it feels like. But I also want to be able to sit with them and share hope with them to say, look, I'm going to take the story. I'm going to take it back to my friends. We're going to talk about it on TV. We're going to share your story. We were able to bring hope in that village. You saw that well. We were able to do that. But I'm telling you, there are many villages all around and throughout that need that same kind of joy, Randy, right now. And we can help bring that to them.
We can. And really, if you could go into a situation and change the life of one person today, would you?
Yes.
I think most of us would. And that's the beauty of it. In fact, consider this. Your gift today of $48 will help provide clean drinking water for a lifetime, not for one person, but for 10 people. That's because when we look at the Water for Life program, 20 nations, our goal of 350 wells, frankly, I'd like to go right by that this year. You will change someone's life with a simple gift. A gift of $144 will provide clean drinking water for 30 people for a lifetime. And that's because these wells are quality. They last an average of 70 years. Some of you can give $4,800, which would provide that well 1,000 people, a lifetime, clean drinking water, smiles, no more tears. Whatever you can do, I pray that you will just stop for a moment and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Because you want to be a part of this beautiful outreach. As John said, giving people water for life in the name of Jesus, the water of life. And I'll mention one more thing. If you want Josh Axe's book today, Think This, Not That, request it. We'll send it to you. We want to bless you. But thank you as you reach out and bless someone else, so many others. Today, make the best gift you can.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Dr. Don Cobert's new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Discover the key to living in divine health as you find a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the He Restores My Soul candle set. This decorative candle and match set will inspire you to remember the restoring presence of Jesus, the true light of the world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you will go online or go to the phone. Make the best gift you can. You will make a difference in someone's life when you join Water for Life. And you know what? Think This, Not That can make a difference in your life. So I hope you'll request it when you make a gift today. Tammy, whew, I'm gonna walk out of here with a little mind shiftness going on.
Absolutely.
In a great way.
Oh, I love having you here, Dr. Josh, and I would love it if you could stay and do another show with us.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Can you do that?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Goodness, I'm so happy you can. And if you've missed any of these amazing shows, you can come back anytime you want to lifetoday.org and catch any of them. But I'm glad you were here today. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Introducing the all-new LifeToday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs. Visit LifeToday.org and experience the best of life.
I think we step more into the answers we're looking for when we are attentive to the questions that God Himself is asking us.
Sacred Prayer Tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.